right, the crowd about 11:37-ish. Shifting gears here into something a bit more serious. The question is, if you run a business, do you have the right to do a criminal background check on those you're hiring? Do you have the right to hire somebody who does not have a criminal background, who does not, in place of one who does? And read a piece in the Wall Street Journal this morning by James Bovard, just reading over his bio. I love this. Never seen a bio where they include the people who've denounced them. His writings have been publicly denounced by the chief of the FBI, Secretary of Labor, Secretary of Agriculture, Secretary of Housing and Development. It goes on from there. Pretty much you pick it. The governmental entity doesn't like what he writes. Just a cynic, he says. And good to have you on the program, James Bovard. How are you?
Doing good. Thanks for having me on.
You betcha. And you have a new e-book that's out. It's The Public Policy Hooligan, correct?
Yeah, it's good for a few laughs, stories of some of the hell raising I've done. And it also shows why I appreciate this new EEOC policy, because it means that I might finally get a real job.
Well, the policy apparently is that they have seen for years, I guess, disparate impact on hiring of minorities when you include criminal background checks. And your theory would be, and I would agree, that if you can't do the criminal background check, people might fall back on their own prejudices.
Right. Well, this is something that was actually documented by a couple of studies out of Chicago, including one at the University of Chicago Legal Forum. So, I mean, this is it's been proven that this is what will happen if you get rid of these checks. But it's amazing to have this federal agency coming in and making up the law on its own and basically changing the civil rights law so that people who are criminal offenders are now a protected group, effectively, under civil rights law. And this is nothing that Congress intended and nothing that the American people would support if they understood what the EEOC was doing.
Is this a rule where they're really going to step on the gas now? I mean, in your piece, you have the story from back in 89 where they sued a Carolina freight carrier in Florida for refusing to hire as a truck driver an Hispanic man who had multiple arrests and served 18 months in prison for larceny. They argued the only legitimate qualification was that he'd be able to drive a truck.
Yeah, and this was a fun case in part because the federal judge that ruled on this was a Hispanic gentleman, and he said that he was outraged at the EEOC's condescension towards minorities, and he said that obviously a rule refusing honest employment to convicted applicants is going to have a disparate impact upon thieves. Unfortunately, the EEOC simply ignored that decision. There is a case ongoing now in Maryland in which the EEOC is pressuring a company to pay compensation to job applicants it did not hire who had actually lied about their criminal records. So what the EEOC wants to do is maximize its own power and throw all these penalty flags at businesses, and it's going to chill hiring across the board.
So under their idea of a perfect world, there would be no background checks for anybody. Everybody, any employer takes at face value what the applicant has to say about his past. You can't ask about his criminal past any more than you could ask about how old he is, correct?
Well, that does seem to be the direction that it's going, but there's an important exception there, and that's the EEOC itself, because the EEOC has been challenged in a recent court case to disclose whether it uses criminal background checks for its own hiring. And the agency is basically saying that secret is confidential information and it doesn't have to disclose it. So that's still going back and forth in court, but, I mean, there's an arrogance there that's just, it's almost comical.
Does the EEOC just have to look for new things to do?
This is what federal agencies tend to do, and especially in the last few years, this is a new Yukon territory for them, because once they have this policy accepted and established, there's all kinds of new lawsuits which they can file. Perhaps they can get a larger budget, and it certainly gives them a new stick to use on employers.
Is there any differentiation made between somebody convicted of a violent crime versus nonviolent?
Not really in the EEOC's ruling, because it's a very convoluted ruling. It's hard to figure out what they're really saying, except that it's very, very dangerous. There was a statement in the Chicago Tribune by one of the top EEOC lawyers in the Midwest that employers should be very careful about even doing background checks now. So this is clearly what their intent is. This is an exercise in intimidation, and it's basically what the EEOC does best, because it's often happened that if these cases go to federal court and a judge actually decides that the EEOC gets his butt kicked. But very few employers can afford hundreds of thousands of dollars in legal costs to take the case all the way to a federal court decision.
Well, the EEOC explained to me, I mean, they have policy. They can work to enact policies. They can't really change law, correct?
Well, technically, yes, but what the EEOC does is use its prosecutorial ability to go out there and sue businesses that are violating what the EEOC said its policy is. So there's very little leash on the EEOC. There is no way to force the EEOC to only enforce policies which mesh with the actual written federal law. And this has been a trouble with the EEOC going back to the 1970s. They have constantly stretched their own power in spite of what the federal law says.
So if this happened today, I run a pizza joint and I'm taking applicants. Can you even have on the application, have you ever been convicted of a crime?
This is something which the EEOC would prefer that you did not ask. And there's a number of cities around the country that have this movement called Ban the Box, in which the question about conviction is being taken off the job applications.
I mean, in the course of doing this program, I've talked to people who have been convicted of crimes and served time in prison, and they all seem to fully understand why they have a more difficult time getting a job. It doesn't shock them.
Right, and it's rather ironic that the Obama administration is pushing this, because Obama's been pushing so many new laws himself, his administration has, that's going to make new criminals. I mean, the basic trouble, especially in recent decades, is that we have too many laws. And, like, you've got 600,000 people being arrested every year for marijuana violations. It's like, you know, this is pointless. However, there are also some laws in the books, like on robbery, murder, rape. These are things that the government should focus on protecting people against, but they lost focus. And now they're trying to make up for that by, you know, dropping the hammer on private employers across the country.
Well, it's just one of those things where one reason a parent might tell their kid to stay out of trouble is, you know, you're going to have a hard time getting a good job someday. It's, you know, one of the things that can go wrong in life, another reason to stay on the right path, and this erases that. To the benefit of whom?
Well, it works out well for the politicians, because the politicians can claim that they have done this great favor for this group, or, you know, it helps them buy votes, or, you know, a lot of these bureaucrats simply enjoy power, and they have more power with this rule that goes in and says that they can threaten employers who use background checks.
Well, I think it's worse because, you know, I don't know who works at the EEOC, whereas if Dick Durbin came out in favor of no background checks, you have to hire felons, people be on the horn to Dick Durbin's office if they don't like the idea, saying, what the hell are you doing? And he'd realize there'd be some political fallout from it, and maybe he changes his mind, but the EEOC is a bureaucracy. Nobody's elected. Who do you complain to?
Well, it's possible to write a letter to your congressman, but that's about as much has about as much impact as blowing bubbles in the bathtub. This is an agency that is its own fiefdom, and it's been very difficult to put a leash on it, and this is just one more example of how it's making up the rules as it goes along and relying on intimidation, because this is not written law. This is just what the agency's guidance, but if you don't follow their guidance, then perhaps you'll have, $500,000 legal bill.
Going back to this case in 89 where the trucking company was told they had to hire the guy who'd been in prison for larceny, what is different effective 2013? What teeth are in the law today that weren't there in 89?
It's the same law on these things, but the EEOC has a long history of completely ignoring federal court decisions where it loses. There were a number of court cases in the Chicago area, I think the Daniel Lamp case in the early 1990s, in which the agency got completely clobbered. However, it kept on, you know, suing other businesses for the same alleged offenses in other jurisdictions. I mean, this is how the EEOC stretches its power. It's simply not bound by federal court decisions except in that district of the court.
And who has done criminal background checks longer than the United States government, I have to wonder?
Who's done criminal background checks longer?
Seems to me if you needed a government job forever, you'll get more scrutiny than you did for the average job out there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there's horrendous background checks, and I've had people knock on my front door asking about former neighbors who are applying for this or that job. And it's, you know, it's always a bad sign for them if they're asking me.
Let me work in a quick question or comment. Henry had one. Henry, go ahead. You're speaking with my guest, James Bovard.
Hi. I've been unemployed for 2 years now, and I've filled out hundreds of online applications. They all ask those questions. I just can't believe that, you know, the larger corporations would stop doing it without some pushback.
Yeah, you mentioned, James or Jim, that a lot of people, businesses don't have the money to fight back, but the major corporations would, do they?
Major corporations, I think, are going to fight this once they start focusing on it, but it's going to work out well for the people in the human resources departments because there's going to be a lot more jobs for them. So, I mean, this is going to be a tangled mess. And it's this is what the EEOC intended, because once it's tangled, the government wins.
All right. So you said you can contact your congressman, but it gets you nowhere. So I guess we just sit back and watch it all unravel. How about that?
Well, the thing that's important is to call talk radio.
Yeah. Well, you said that, and there is the, I've heard of that movement to ban the box or whatever.
Yes.
Does the EEOC, I mean, have they gone so far as to say you should ban the box, asking if you have a criminal conviction?
They have not said that explicitly, but that's the direction in which they're going in. But it does seem, it's hard to tell much difference between what the EEOC seems to want to do and what former Mayor Washington Mayor Marion Barry is pushing. And Marion Barry's on the city council in D.C., and he pushed a law that would have said that criminal convictions, people with criminal records, are a specific protected group under a civil rights law. And this is effectively what the EEOC is trying to do with this new guidance.
Wow. One more question, then we'll let you go. Hey, Candace, what is it? Hold on, did that wrong. Gotcha, Candace. Go ahead.
Never going to stand. Imagine if you hire Stanley Weaver to come into your house and is a felon, rapes that woman and kills her. You know, these companies have liabilities. The lawyers are all over them. And the government, because I have looked into government jobs, they ask everything. They want to see your high school and call a transcript. They are out of their mind. I don't know why people do not start calling things out. I mean, they're such hypocrites.
Yeah, Candace, we don't have the best connection here, but Jim, my guess is you're in lockstep with her. Her point was you call a carpet cleaning service into the house and somebody commits a crime. She mentioned rape. There's liability on the part of the carpet cleaning service, yes?
Absolutely, and this is part of the reason why the National Small Business Association is horrified at this and is fighting hard against it, because businesses are going to be open to horrendous tort lawsuits who hire felons who then go out and do horrendous crimes.
But they don't can't use the defense that the government wouldn't let us ask?
I don't think that's going to go very well before a jury.
No, I guess not. All right, well, it's interesting, James. I appreciate you bringing it to our attention. And your e-book, once again, what was it with the hooligans?
I'm looking. Public Policy Hooligan. Good for a few laughs.
And the gist of that is what? Just
it's a memoir of some of the adventures I have and my own criminal record.
All right, fantastic. Listen, James Bovar, thanks for your time, and have a fantastic weekend.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on.
You betcha. Take care now.